Welcome everyone to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your guys' host, Dakota Morgan, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. And today we have on an artist, in the sense here, I don't know what the hell I'm saying, but Scott Koblish is on the show, folks. Artist on Deadpool, X-Men, Image, DC, much. He's done so much work over the years. Scott was once on the show about 4 or 5 years ago at this point, kind of dating this episode, but he was on here a few years ago, and we caught up, but we really, really talked about his work on X-Men, especially this cover that he did recently that encapsulates the years of X-Men and characters and stuff. And we just, it's all X-Men this episode, folks. We do a deep dive. We talk a little bit about DC and such too, but it's really Marvel, the Marvel Universe with X-Men, you know, being an artist, working on something like that, you know, explaining X-Men to non-X-Men fans. Like, we dive into this hard. And what it's like, you know, drawing these characters that have so much backstory and so much, like, fan love to all of them. Even the small ones, like Ice Cream. And so, you know, we dive right into that. So if you guys do enjoy this, I do recommend you subscribe for new episodes every Tuesday, whether it's comics history, interviews, reviews, the newsroom and with Gavin, and much more. You guys still get new episodes for free every Tuesday. And if you want to follow me live, raw, and uncut, you can. I'm on Twitch for video games. CodaRex97, Twitter, or X, XXX as I call it, at DakotaMorgan3, and Instagram at Dakota_Morgan97, YouTube, where you can catch the video version of this podcast, and you can catch my, you know, one-on-one talk with Scott and other people, as well as video games, dinosaur content, and much more. Catch that over on Dakota Morgan. All these links will be in the bio down below, of course, as well as my Redbubble store for you guys, official Comic Chronicle Redbubble store, in the description down below too. Give us the support, guys. When you buy merch, it helps keep the show alive and keeps us going and stuff. It allows me to be able to put more time into it. I love this show. 7 years of this damn show so far, and you know, we want to make it more. We want to be able to do more for you guys. You know, want to be able to leave other jobs, the whole thing. And I want to be able to give you guys all the love and affection you truly deserve. So enough of me rambling on, though. Let's dive into my talk with Scott.
Yes.
Hey, there we go.
How's it going?
Oh, not too bad, man. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I was just like, did he hear that video I had on an Instagram? It was like a guy getting chased by an alligator.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. It's just like, if you're ever getting chased by an alligator, just hide behind a tree. Peekaboo! It's this whole thing. Like, all right, well, interesting way.
I guess hiding behind a tree, does that work?
kind of. I mean, you follow me on Twitter, or X, I guess it is now. I mean, I did years of work at Crocodilians, man. Sometimes nothing works.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sometimes you're just like, run, climb if you can, like, just make sure the door is behind you, sort of thing. Yeah.
Sure. That's so funny.
Oh, well, Scott, that's welcome true. To the show, man.
Thanks.
Of course, it's been years since we've had you.
It has been a long time.
Yeah.
But it's good. Man.
Yeah. It seems you've been busy too, by the way, especially with some stuff that you have released. Before we get into that, I'm meaning to talk to somebody about this. Have you ever seen something like technological, like out in the wild? And you sit and look at it and you're like, this exists, yet somehow my internet is shit.
Huh. Like out in the wild, like in real life. Is that what you mean? And you're like, huh. No, I haven't had that kind of disconnect yet, but I imagine I will at some point. Yeah.
I saw the, have you ever seen those 6-wheeled coolers that drops groceries off for people like on the internet? Have you seen those?
Oh, the little, like they're supposed to be little robots or something like that.
Yeah,
I've heard of them. And there's a couple like lurking around in Los Angeles. A few of them have like little wraps around them for like movie premieres and things like that. So like,
I just heard,
a friend of mine was saying that they saw one down in like in Hollywood there. I live in North Hollywood, which is like the better Hollywood.
Yeah.
This was in somewhere in Hollywood, and it had like a wrap for like some movie around, you know, like whatever the movie was. Which I thought was kind of funny because apparently they go pretty slow.
They do. I saw that in person, and it was just, I'm sitting there. This was in Tempe in Arizona, and there's like it was going through a college town doing a pet sitting thing for my wife's business. Sure. And I'm at a stoplight, and I see this thing with a flag, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And I see it. And mine wasn't covered with movie wrap. That would have made it cooler. Instead, it was like more I Am Robot sort of thing. It's all white with a little bit of silver. And it was at the crosswalk. And people are just standing there just on their phones like, this is normal. What? And I'm like, what the hell is that? Oh, they're real? And then the crosswalk, and it's waiting for it to go. And the crosswalk turns, because it's a little dude, and everyone's walking across, and it just goes. And I hear it go, beep, beep. I'm like, what? It's the weirdest thing. And I sat there and looked, and I called my wife, and I'm like, how the hell is my phone not working? And how the hell is my internet not working? Yet this robot's dropping off groceries to an apartment complex.
That's so funny. I imagine that, there's lots of things that are coming our way that are going to be just like that. So,
did you see the flamethrower dog?
No, there's a flamethrower dog. All right, so there's lots of things.
Yeah, that you can buy one if companies can buy them, and then you're a civilian, you can buy them, and it's like that.
Really?
Yeah, it's only $9,000. It's like that. Yeah, right. $9,000. It's fine. It's like that robot dog. Yeah, in a way, it's that four-legged dog, quote unquote, robot thing, and it's that you've seen the universities use. They like have it run around. It used to be yellow and shit too, and it's that one. But instead, right now, it's drone controlled. When the controller too has a built-in flamethrower, and they said you can use it for pest control, for maintenance in your yard. Clearing out snow as well. And it's a big flamethrower. I mean, this thing is the size of like a retriever, and it's shooting 3 or 4 feet of flame. And it's like, oh yeah, there's a lot of practical uses. If the military wants them, they can have them too. I'm like, what world?
Yeah. Well, robots are coming. Like mm-hmm. we have a robot that vacuums up the house, So it's just a matter of, I haven't attached a flamethrower to it yet, I guess.
Give it time. Just if you get bored one day,
Yeah, someday, yeah.
Oh, man. Let's get into the comics a little bit, but I just wanted to ask somebody about that. I was just like, this world.
No, it makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
You, sir, how long? Like, have you had a life recently? Or has everything been dedicated to that X-Men cover?
Oh, I actually did a whole bunch of things while I was doing that X-Men cover.
Oh,
so.
Shoot.
Yeah, I did an issue of J.M. DeMatteis has a universe that he's kind of building.
Yeah.
And I came in and helped out on an issue of that. And then they'll announce that in a month or two. I don't really know when that comes out. And then I did some stuff for a Flash annual and a Flash story in there was like a Beast Worlds kind of tie-in at DC. And I've done a couple covers and extra things and stuff like that. But doing the X-Men doing the X-Men cover was a lot. If I separated it all out, it probably would have taken about 3 months.
Oh, okay.
Like if I separated all the other things I did out. So about 3 months. It's long. It's a big piece. So I broke it into four boards that are about 24 inches long, so the final is about 7 feet long. It's 84 inches like total. So I know they released like the first half of the thing this past week, but the entire thing is like I said, it's 84 inches long. So it's 7 feet long. So it was pretty intense as an undertaking goes, because a lot of the research was the most intense part about it. I thought that the 1990s were going to be where I would hit like a wall with the amount of X-Men that come into existence. Because for the first 10 years of the book, like from 1963 to 1971, 70, something like that, before it goes to reprint, like that was about... Oh gosh. I mean, like, it had the original five, Polaris and Havoc come along at some point, and they loop in Eunice the Untouchable every once in a while, but like at the beginning it's always like they would have like a villain of the month kind of thing. And then they kind of after like all the books that Marvel had, like they would go back to having like some interaction with a previous villain. So like Magneto is in the first issue, and then like by the fourth issue he's after the Vanisher and I think the Blob
but I might be wrong about that. But and then they have like Magneto, and he's got the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants with him. So like they introduce a few people like that, and then they kind of go back to those sorts of things. There's a whole bunch of robots that the X-Men are always fighting.
Oh yeah,
not even
well,
just
yeah.
the Sentinels, but like robots in general. So the first like, it was really easy for me to keep track of everything all the way through the Claremont run. And then I expected all the stuff with X-Force and New Mutants and all the stuff that Rob Liefeld brought to the table, and Gambit, and that Jim Lee brought to the table. I think it's Jim Lee that did Gambit. And a couple other characters that popped up. They would pull in like Captain Britain and things like that. But I fully expected everything to kind of be like that was the time that I was going to have to scramble to try and make sure that I had everything, like Deadpool and all that stuff. But I did not expect the last 15 years. So the last 15 years of the X-Men have just gone off the rails as far as like the amount of characters that they
It's
have
true. It's
introduced.
True. Yeah, it's Strong Man. I mean, Strong Man, I think, was 90s, even though, but like that's like you got characters like him that are in a thing.
Yeah,
if I remember right.
But it's even more. It's like there's just a whole bunch. Like when I sat down to try and figure it, like even Forget Me Not and like all the Krakoa stuff and all the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, when they fought the swords, what was it, the fighting of swords, what was it called, something of
there's
swords,
Excalibur, or
it's like X of Swords or something like that,
sword,
but it was
yeah.
Like, yeah, so there was an event that way, and there was all these characters, and everybody's dovetailing in and out, and like, it used to be like, I kind of noticed a storytelling tick that I've kind of noticed about a lot of the Marvel books, like, it used to be that you would have a fight between Colossus and Juggernaut, but you would spend a whole issue like going like, why is it they're in the same room together? You know, like where did they come? You know, what conflict do they have? Like, how are they interacting? Like, what is it about Juggernaut that he's having some conflict with Colossus? Like, you know, like they would spend a whole issue on that, and then they would have like some stuff dovetailing out of that, or some stuff dovetailing into it, you know, like there would be a whole bunch of that. Now at Marvel, like the way they kind of do it is that they'll have like an overarching plot point that'll focus on a couple characters, and then they'll kind of like they'll flash over to like what's Colossus doing, like, and it'll be like one panel or maybe most like a page of like Colossus and like Juggernaut fighting, because it's kind of like they want the artist to have fun drawing some sort of battle scene, but they don't want it to derail like all the talking that's going on, like, because there's lots of like plot points and lots of like
exposition sort of thing,
exposition and stuff like that, that they don't handle that stuff in captions or thought balloons any longer. So they have to spell it out. Like it's kind of like everything. It's like the things that used to be shorthand about comics, where they would have a caption box or a thought balloon and you could introduce a shorthand concept. That stuff is gone because they've taken those things away. So now like the conflicts, the underlying relationships, all these things that used to have a shorthand no longer have a shorthand. So they have to be written out over a period of like a number of issues. And then the battle scenes, which used to be like, I don't know, like the artist used to do a lot of that stuff. They know that stuff has to be in there, but they just kind of throw it in like as almost like an afterthought. Like it's like the conflict that these guys are having with a villain, they don't even have to really talk about like the minor villain that they're having a battle with. They're worried about the big villain that they're going to have a battle with 10 issues from now. Do you know what I mean?
You're
so,
right.
Like,
yeah.
There's lots of stuff that I've been looking at and it's weird because what it does is it kind of prevents Well, it's just a different way of writing it, and it's a different way of reading it. So I shouldn't say that it's weird. It's just that that's what's been happening recently. So when I was doing all the research, like, I noticed that, like, in this issue, like, Juggernaut appears, you know, he would, like, appear, and then, like, or, like, a new character would appear that hadn't appeared in the X-Men book before. But it was, like, this character was only in here for a panel or two. They're not part of the main story. Do I include that character in the cover, or do I leave that character out? And that really became, like, it in the beginning, the first, like, 30 years, you could kind of say, yeah, I'll put that character in. Like, Iron Man makes an appearance in early issues of X-Men. So I was like, that's great. I'll put Iron Man in there. It's Tony Stark. It's a fun armor that I haven't drawn that often, or maybe at all. Like, I always try to look for things like that I haven't drawn before, you know? So like I hadn't drawn Magneto's purple costume. So I was like, let me draw that in. Or I hadn't drawn some of Cyclops's current outfits. And I was like, that's going to be exciting to draw.
Oh, the red one, but, like the all red with like the X on the face sort of thing. Exactly.
It's almost the same as the red one, but it's blue. It's got the same piping on the main costume, but it's blue. It doesn't have the same helmet at all.
Yeah,
I really like that X that was on the red costume, like over his face. I thought that was pretty clever.
I'm a fan of the white armor Magneto. I know it's not too much of a popular one, but
I have cool him in that. There too. I like the white armor too. I thought that was really fun, so I put that in there too. Like I wanted to. There was a couple things where, like, I kind of got tripped up early in the cover where I was like, okay, like, I've got, like, the first five, like, I was kind of going somewhat chronological, and I was like, I've got the first five in there, right? But then, I can't put Phoenix in there because Phoenix is already Jean. I guess I could say that it's different, but then I couldn't draw, like, Archangel. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I was like, I've got no choice. I've got to, like, have more than one version of these characters. And especially in a situation like Age of Apocalypse, because once I got to Age of Apocalypse, I'm like, do I draw all those characters as if they're different people? Yeah, so
it's what
I kind of made a decision. Mm. Originally, it was going to be 8 covers, like, total. So I was like, well, I'll just focus on Cyclops in each one of these little spots. Do you know what I mean? So I had at least 8 Cyclopses there and in prominent places. But what I noticed after a while is actually, like, Cyclops is not, like, a big character in the book, like, this year. It's mostly focused on Xavier. So, like, I kind of put Xavier in front of Cyclops in this last one. Or in the last part of the section. And then what was really cool is that just as I was about to hand in the cover, they released the images for the new stuff that comes out in June and July.
Yeah, a couple months.
Yeah, because I hadn't seen those designs or any of the characters there.
So that had to be fun. You're just like, I'm done. Oh, damn it.
Well, that was it. It was literally like I finished on that Thursday morning and I was like, this is great. I'll scan it in now and the last bit and put that together. And then and they released that the little bits of it. And then I was like, well, that's I was like back to the drawing board. So I did like another 8 hours to work on it. So but it was still fun because I was like, this is great. I get to have all the characters that are going to be in the new stuff as well. Because there's a couple in there I didn't recognize before, and Kitty looks a little bit different in that one too. So
Kitty's got some pretty interesting outfits throughout the years too. Like
Kitty's had some interesting outfits throughout the years. I wound up doing so. Like, there's a couple examples where the X babies were running around. So there's an X baby kind of thing that the X babies are running around. But with those, I was able to use some of the costumes without having to draw Kitty again. I was able to put the X-Baby Kitty in the Shadow Cat outfit, the blue, the dark blue and the light blue.
Yeah,
so I was able to, like, toss in like that. So that worked out, like, really well. Then I didn't have to draw Kitty, like, all over again.
Makes sense. I gotta ask though, because like there's so much X-Men with them. Like there's so much history, and I mean, I'm a big fan, but like, it would be so nerve-wracking to me to be like, you mentioned earlier, like, oh, how do I do this? How do I make those decisions? Like, the editor will say one thing, but you're like, even if the editor, whatever decision they make, this is going to be a big thing. There's loads of fan groups, even for that small character who was just in a panel. Like, there's fan clubs, and it's like, piss them off, it's over.
Like, I didn't expect there's a guy who already was like, where's Ice Scream? Because there's a character named Ice Scream, like Ice Dash Scream. Like, and I was the like, hyphen. Yeah, I was like, the truth is I completely missed him. I don't know what book he's in. But
how dare you, Scott, miss Ice Scream?
And the other thing is that I wasn't doing like every mutant. I was doing everybody that appeared in like the X-Men books. Mm-hmm. So that even kind of didn't cover some of the stuff where like, there's some villains in the New Mutants book, like that I would have loved to have put in, but I really felt like if I put in Demon Bear or like, that wouldn't work very well. But there are some examples of in the new. So X-Men as a book, X-Men as a book goes along pretty well, and it becomes uncanny at some point, but it's chugging along pretty well. And then there's the regular X-Men book, like just called like adjective lists. That's what they called it around the office. And then that sort of pops up. But then around issue 534 or 35, the book goes away. So this is like 2004 or something like that. But it's all replaced by a whole bunch of different books. Like, so it's not just one X-Men book. It's like X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue and X-Men.
Yeah, that was a thing for a while.
New X-Men. Yeah, so like all new, all different X-Men, like all new X-Men. Mm-hmm. And then what winds up happening is that everybody was not really careful with the volume numbering. So it got a little confusing in the research. Like I confess the last 20 years, it was really hard to follow the thread.
Yeah.
And even now, like, I picked up a whole bunch on the stands because there were some things that weren't available on the app because I used the app, the Marvel. This is a plug, by the way, the Marvel Universe, the Marvel Universe, the app. Mm-hmm. Amazing. I mean, I literally read every single issue of X-Men, you know, through that app, like, you know, and I'd take little screenshots just to make sure that I had like each character, and then I could reference that, and then I could send that reference to the colorist, you know? So,
yeah, it makes sense. I mean, do you have so many years of history that like digitalize? It's got to save your life.
It took me about like 2 or 3 weeks to get everything kind of all squared away. But then, like I said, it was really difficult to follow the last couple years because even like where it's called, like it would be called like X, like Powers of X, Sword.
Yeah, there was a lot of those. Even
I didn't know where that fell in with the numbering. So like, anyway, so it was a little difficult towards the last couple years. But the great thing about it is that app, Marvel app, saved my butt. So like, you know, I was able to find characters that I wouldn't have normally found. Like, there's a whole bunch of robots in the Roy Thomas kind of era. Like, and there's a whole bunch of things that like I wouldn't have noticed at all if I hadn't had the app. So that app saved my butt.
I got to say too, it's like there's so much randomness to it, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but like there's so much randomness to it of all the different types of X-Men things, and people are seeing that in the new show that's going on right now, right? They're seeing when Mojo appear, people are like, who's this fat kid thing, like alien thing? I'm like, oh, that's Mojo, guys. Welcome to this crazy world. It's not what you thought.
There's such depth to the X-Men stuff, honestly. Like, it's really deep. There's a lot of great stuff in the book. X-Men was my favorite book when I was a teenager. Like Spider-Man kind of got me into, comic books, but I probably, if it had just been Spider-Man, I probably would have been like, okay, like, you know, like I'm 15, I'm out.
Yeah,
but really? X-Men, Yeah, X-Men really like kept my interest like every month and all the way through like college. So I'm just a huge X-Men fan, and it's really fascinating to see like how much stuff there is. Not even just like just in the stuff from the Claremont era, like the stuff from the Grant Morrison stuff keeps popping up. Like there was a really it was really difficult for me because sometimes I would have to breeze through in order to get like to see if there was a new character in each issue. You know what I mean? Like, am I missing a character here? Am I seeing a character there? And I would have to flip through in order to find out like if I had it, something. And the Grant Morrison stuff and the Joss Whedon stuff, it just slowed me down considerably because I'd start reading it. You know what I
Oh
mean?
no.
I'd be like, oh man, like
This is
I was like, I was
good.
just re yeah, I'm like reading it to read it because I was like, so good. Like that Joss Whedon stuff especially was so good. That John Cassaday stuff
Yeah.
and
Oh, there was
the Grant Morrison stuff, so good.
I was going through recently. You mentioned X-Men Gold. And
Yeah.
when they brought back X-Men Gold a few years ago, oh man, it makes you feel kind of old. I think it was at least like 5, 6 years ago at this point. X-Men, it was
Yeah.
X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue was the younger team. From like the different future alternate thing that they did, and it's the closest Marvel is probably ever going to let me as a writer get to their books. Is I wrote in and got in the letters page, and
Oh,
like
that's fun.
the thing I wrote in there was in there, and so it's like, and it's on of course Kitty Pryde. It's the cover, and she's coming out. It's like she was the leader of the X-Men at the time. Like that was the
Yeah.
coolest moment. I'm like, this is probably the closest I'm ever going to get to X-Men, and I'll
That's
take it.
awesome. That's so great. That's great. Yeah, oh, the Bendis stuff too. Boy, the
Oh
Bendis
yeah.
stuff is so good. There's
Yes.
a scene. There's a scene where older Scott, who is like that Red Revolutionary kind of Scott, has like a talk with younger Jean, and like that's a tense scene, and it goes on for pages and pages and pages, and at the end, Kitty Pryde like has been standing outside the whole time. You find out that Kitty's been there, like, and she's like, I was just keeping an eye on everything, and I'm like, wow, it's so good. The Bendis stuff
Ooh.
is really great. And the stuff that's been happening recently is really great. I really like the Rasputin Four character. I thought that was kind of fun. All the focus on Xavier has been really great. I don't know where they're going with everything, you know, like
Yeah.
in the future, but I hope that they don't ditch out like everything. I hope that they have some, like, I noticed Gambit and Rogue are kind of like in the same team. And
Yeah, they were married, I think, recently in the series from a couple years ago.
I think so,
Damn.
but it's always so difficult to tell like
Yeah.
where their relationship is, like,
Yeah.
so and even in the X-Men 97, the TV, the animated show, like that's been great. Like it's just been wonderful to
I
see that stuff.
cried so hard.
Oh man, I was so
Oh.
hard. I can't feel you no more.
Oh no.
Yeah,
Oh
I was like,
man.
oh my God.
Oh, I bawled. I
So
was pet
good.
sitting at a house for our side business. So I was standing there and I says, okay, if I watch this, why not? They're like, yeah, sure, we know about your background. And so I was watching X-Men 97 and I started crying and the dog I was watching was crying too. And I'm like, no. It's like this whole thing, we're all just crying in this house. It
Yeah,
was so
it's so
sad.
fun. Yeah, it's funny too because Gambit sort of, I don't want to do spoilers, but Gambit had taken like he like had a he was riding a motorcycle and he like threw the motor he like energized the motorcycle and threw it at like the Sentinel there, and I was like that seems super familiar. And then the writer from when I did the X-Men 92 stuff, when I drew that, there's a scene where we had Gambit, you know, energize the motorcycle. In this one, in the comic, it was the motorcycle that Wolverine has from the, it's like the toy that Wolverine had, a motorcycle,
Yeah.
93 or something like
Still though, that's
that.
still pretty
Yeah.
cool.
It's fun. Yeah. Cause I was like, oh, that's a great move. And then I was like, oh, I think we did that. So
It's
I was
like
like,
if you see something like, yeah, a little bit like, what is it, the iconic Ant-Man on Hawkeye's arrow,
yeah.
right? You see that, like, you know, if you
Yeah.
created, when you they created that, and like if they're able to see that today, like when I saw that in the movie, it'd be like, we did that, like that is
Yeah, it's
us.
so cool. Yeah, it's so fun. Yeah, that's really neat. Like, yeah, you're like kind of that. And then they add things too, and I'm like, oh, I wish I'd thought of that, or you know, like a whole bunch of stuff like that. So it's interesting watching that show. Like, Like I've had two conversations with people now, like out in the wild, like where like because I was on a plane earlier this week and I was drawing, and then someone was like, "Oh, can I have a Spider-Man?" And I was like, "Sure." Like I drew like for some for their kids and stuff like that.
Oh,
I
that's
drew,
cool, you man. That's cool.
and this one guy behind me was like, because I have to do all these sketches for some other thing. So like I had drawn Rogue, and he was like, "Hey, is that Rogue?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "What are Rogue's powers?" And I was like, "Oh man, all right." I
How
was
long do
like,
you got? About what do you want to say here?
"Well," and I was like, "Rogue really just has one power set. It's to absorb people's abilities and powers and memories." But and then I know just talking with them like that they only know like the Carol Danvers from the movies. So like I was like, "But she and Carol had a fight and she absorbed all of Carol's powers." But in the movies, Carol's powers are they're more the Carol that so Carol after being, you know, knocked, you know, like fighting with Rogue, I should just say, right, she fights with Rogue. The fight goes on too long. They're you know, like Rogue makes too much physical contact with Carol. And as a result, she absorbs all of Carol's personality, memories, and powers. And Carol winds up as in a vegetative state without any powers. Xavier is able to manage to get her back up and up to snuff, but she has no powers. But like a couple of years after that, she becomes Binary, which is another character. And Binary has like ray blast powers, like ray beam powers.
Thanks, Sam.
So those powers kind of like as a through line are part of Carol's power set now, but not when Rogue fought her. So like when I was telling everybody, I'm like, she fought Carol. But they were like, but she seems to only be like super, like Rogue seems to be only super strong and can fly and like is invulnerable. And I'm like, those were Carol's old powers. Like,
Yeah.
you know, it's so hard for me to describe like 40 years of continuity to
Oh
somebody.
yeah, and there's that
But,
rule too. There's a big rule that a friend of mine told me once, because I mean
oh, yeah.
I go on, yeah, and it's like when you're telling someone about comic history, right? And then if you have to put in the word "but," that's when you lose standards. You lose them. They're gone. They're
Oh, that's
gone.
so funny. You're right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's
So, yeah. At that point, you're like, because you'll be telling somebody the story, and then you'll be like,
yeah.
oh, but wait, there's another section of this
Yeah.
that's super important for you to know that's not part of the general narrative that I'm telling. So, yeah, it's too much. Yeah, I am.
People just get it's the comic book fans, we're like, yes, and we're into it. But like to the standard fans, they're just like, well, that's a lot. I'm gonna go back over here. Like,
Lot. Yeah.
no, this is go back to so
Yeah.
much more. Oh
So
man.
anyway, yeah. But so that's the kind of stuff that was going through my head when I was working on the X-Men cover, and the first half is released. So that's it. I think that people got a little bit confused about it too because they released like the first half. I wish they'd released it all together, but I think Rochelle Rosenberg, who's the colorist on this. By the way, like I have to give a shout out to Rochelle, like unbelievable amount of comics knowledge and like has done an incredible job with the colors on it. So I
Yes.
worked really hard to try and make sure that like purple didn't overlap with purple or red. You know, like I tried not to make like a one giant section of green. Do you know what I mean?
All
Like
these green characters are there, and he's like, why?
but that it was kind of inevitable. So it's
Bro.
kind of like someone's they were like, "Oh my God, it's like an explosion at the Skittles factory." So it's a little bit like that where there's like a whole bunch of different colors, and even where there was some overlapping ones, like she made sure to like make them a little different tone or a little different like a little different green or something like that.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
you know, she worked really hard at this thing. So and it's an incredible task. Like even to sort of say like this is this character, this is that character, this is this character, like.
Yeah, she's got to do that history too, like looking in, like, what shade is this? What kind of color?
I didn't know forget-me-not until like I started doing the
Yeah.
research, you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
characters like that where I was just like, what's, you know, and then sometimes like I'll run across, like I wanted to draw Forget Me Not, like up front, just as a joke. I thought it was kind of funny.
But you forgot and, ice cream, Scott.
I know. And I forgot ice cream, but like I'll sit there and I'll be like, I'll look through the reference that I can find. And like an artist, like the character will appear for like 10 issues and I'll never see what color boots the guy has because the artist just hasn't drawn those boots. So like I get kind of tripped up by some of this like research when I was doing it, like there's not a lot of like not a lot of full body shots on some of these characters, which I thought was kind of surprising to me and really made me think about like how I approach my work, you know, when I'm doing stuff now too. Like I try and make sure that I've got the whole figure in there at least once.
It's kind of like the equivalent to like making a video game with a bunch of characters wearing a mask, or like in the animation thing where like there's a billion shaded, you know, everyone's in the dark sort of thing like that. Yeah. It's like, oh, you notice those things. You're like, I don't really want to do that. I'm not cheaping way out of here. Like I get time and money, but let's make it cool.
So, but then also there's some parts in the story where like pulling back and seeing like the entire body of the character, like it just doesn't help out the story. So I kind of get like, some artists, it seems like laziness, but it might not be. I don't know. Anyway, it's one of those things where, like, I was really struggling with some of the things. But, like, I've sort of lost my train of thought on that one. But at any rate, so.
You're good. I mean, we've taken a lot of time. I just realized we've been talking for almost 40 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Great. I was like, oh, my God. I don't want to take too much of your time. I do have to ask, though, man.
Yeah.
Is it your artwork that's above your bed? I saw a glimpse of that here on the video.
No, this is something that Jill had.
Oh,
my wife works over at DC.
Nice.
And I don't know why that was like something that was in the office there. Mm. But then DC moved offices, and then we inherited a few things. Like we have there's an old Superman cover that came from the New York DC offices, and she also has a couple prints and things like that that are like she had gotten before and like original art before I ever met her. So like so some of these things I don't know where exactly they come from. Like we
just
have a
pop up. Just like
look
at that.
Like there's a I forget who did that, Paul Pope or something like that.
I think so. Yeah. But, wow.
They're really neat. Like Batman Year One is my favorite Batman story. So, so even when she had that print, I was like, "That's awesome." You know, you meet somebody like that, you're like, "She's the real thing." You know, for me, you know, like this is the person for me. Like when you find out. So, but she's got all sorts of things like that. Like she's the one with like most of the books. And most of the, especially all of the toys, like the characters, the, you know, the, what are they? The action figures. She's she's the one. I never collected action figures, but she worked in the collectibles department over at DC for a while. So she has all these action figures from that time period, like all the DC bombshells and a whole bunch of like really great sets of things. And I'm like, wow.
Look at them goals, Scott. Look at you go. Look at you go. All right.
I looked up.
Yeah. Well, good man. I don't want to take too much more of your time today.
Yeah,
is there anything that you want to help promote? I mean, obviously, you know, X-Men cover just came out, but like, is there anything you want to talk about that you can that's not NDA?
So with the X-Men covers, it's four wraparound covers. It's issue 700 of X-Men, which is also issue 35, because just like Marvel has a weird math kind of thing. Anyway, that's X-Men 700. And then it's X-Men number one, Uncanny X-Men number one, and Exceptional X-Men number one. So it's those four covers. There are wraparounds for each one. And there's a deal that I have with my local comic shop because I'm trying to help out like a lot of the local comic shops with things. So, like, if people buy from my local comic shop, which is Collector's Paradise, they have three locations. There's one in Winnetka. It's all in Southern California. One's in Winnetka, one's in North Hollywood, one's in Pasadena. But if you go online to their thing, Collector's Paradise, anyway, shop. If you go to my Twitter, you can find this stuff there, too. So I'm at Koblish. on Twitter. But if you go there and then order the four comics, I'm drawing a sketch of just for like another $15 more, but it's a pretty good sketch. It'll be like a black and white pencil and ink and of whatever X-Men anybody wants. So you can order like whatever X-Men you want, and I'll draw that person for you, and then we'll just I'll sign all the comics and send them out. So we're just trying to I'm trying to help out the shop, you know what I mean? Comic shops have had a tough time of it recently. They'll ship it out to everybody, like doesn't matter like where you are, they'll just calculate out the shipping, and that way we can help sell some comics, help my local store keep afloat.
Cool. I like it, man. Look at you supporting them too. Cause like you're right. It is a rough time out there for those shops. Like
A lot of the retailers have been struggling. We've had a few that have gone down in LA. Yeah. LA has a lot of comic shops to begin with, but we lost Heidi Ho and Jeffrey's Comics at the beginning of the year. And we're losing Earth 2 in a couple months. And so I just want to try and make sure that everybody knows that these shops are out there. It's super important to go visit them. The great thing about these comic shops is that they not only provide like a place for you to buy comics, but they provide a community. I've noticed that like a lot of them have like people, they have regulars, they have people that they interact with. They get news about other things like conventions or local signings or things like that that you get at the shop that you wouldn't get like any other way. So it's almost like a cross between a coffee shop and a bookstore.
Yeah. It's an escape. Yeah. It's always an escape no matter what. Cause like, no, everyone leaves their drama at the door, and that's the coolest part about it.
Yeah.
That's sometimes true. No, but it majority of the time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and especially when you get a shop that's like really, you know, like welcoming to kids and welcoming to, genders and every kind of person as well. So like I think it's super important just to have like that kind of community get built, and a comic shop can be really important to that sort of thing. So when you get a good one in your town, you know, support it if you can.
Absolutely.
So you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Twitter there, or X. I don't know. Still have trouble. I mean, like I don't know. You know how like you would call them tweets, you know, like are they X's? I don't know why anyone calls them
X's. I call it triple X. Whenever I'm streaming or talking about anything, I'm just like, oh, you follow me on triple X.
So and then those two places are pretty much the best. You can also contact me there. Like I think Instagram, like I checked at least like once a week, Twitter once a week at least. Yeah. So like if you contact me there, I can usually respond and pretty quickly. But like pick up the books. I have a Flash annual. I did some stuff on the Flash annual that comes out this Tuesday, so I don't know when this goes live,
but Tuesday, like, actually.
So great, on exact same day. So it's a really neat story with Wally West sort of traveling through different dimensions and things like that. So that's that was a lot of fun to do. And trying to think what else. I have a couple convention things. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, for the Phoenix Fan Fusion around Memorial Day.
Yep. I will actually see you there because I actually have a booth there. Yeah. So I got an education booth. Yeah.
Great.
Yes. I'll see if you go to like this thing in there. Is it like education area where they talk about science and stuff like that too? They invited me to do a podcasting booth there to teach people about podcasts.
Oh, so perfect. Like, the science things and stuff like that. Like,
I'm probably contributed a little bit to it. Yeah. I mean, I have a science background, so I have art and science background. So big biology guy here. So I'm definitely gonna stop by the table and be like, "Hey, remember me?" And you could be like, "No, fuck off." Like, all right, well, I get it.
No, come up and say hi. So, and then I'll be in Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ooh. Both the Phoenix one and the Charlotte one, I'm like a guest of the Hero Initiative, so I don't have a table of my own. I'm at the Hero Initiative booth, so like that's kind of a distinction that people should know. And then I'm at San Diego this year, and Los Angeles convention. So those are the four that I have set up this year. That's it.
Cool. Well, Scott, man, thank you again for coming on the show, though, taking your time out of the day.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me over.
Yeah, and I'll let you get going, and I will see you at Phoenix Comic Con, man.
Perfect. Excellent. All right. Thanks a lot.
Of course. Have a good one.
You got it.